I am Gary Collett. When you come to the Churches of Christ, you'll find the Bible, the Word of God, that directs and guides us in all of our ways. And of course, we believe 1 Peter 4:11, yet if any man speak, let him speak as it were the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him minister as of the strength which God supplieth, that in all things God may be glorified. We, of course, want to glorify our Father. Therefore, we have to labor and live for Him who died for us, that is, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. So we're hopeful that it is your desire to live for Him and to make your life what He would desire for it to be. This morning for our study, I want us to turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew. You'll remember that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount, and our Lord, of course, was laying down principles for the coming kingdom. And as He talks about these things, He gives us many thoughts concerning how we are to live as Christians. And then He concludes in Matthew 7, 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name cast out demons, in thy name do many wonderful works. But he said, then I'll profess unto them, Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Those chilling words, "I never knew you," shall certainly come before our minds if we've not done the will of the Father in that eternal day. The day of judgment is the day for which all days are made. It is the day into which the interest of every day comes into play, doesn't it? And it is important for us to know the will of the Lord so that we may do those things which are in harmony with His will. Now, how can we do that? Well, much, you know, has been said and written lately concerning the attacks upon the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon in Washington. And all of these things have been very sad times for us in our country. So many ways we certainly have regretted the things that have been done and felt sympathy for the families who have suffered so greatly in their loss. Lessons, of course, ought to be learned in the wake of any tragedy, and it is hoped that these attacks are no exception. If we learn nothing from these things, then we are vulnerable again for attack, and we must learn and we must do what we're able to do. Perhaps we can learn something that will be helpful to us as we strive to present the church, the true church, unto the world. The Bible, of course, is our hope, and if we have not the Bible, we have nothing. The Bible has a word for peace and in the time of peril. It is a word of comfort in the time of calamity. It is a word of light for the hour of darkness, and its oracles are repeated in the assembly of the people of God, and its counsels are whispered in the ear of the lonely. It has woven itself into our dearest dreams, hasn't it? So that love and friendship and sympathy and devotion, memory and hope put on the beautiful garments of this treasured speech. No man is too poor nor desolate who has this treasure for his own. When the landscape darkens and the trembling pilgrim comes to the valley named the shadow of death, he's not afraid to enter. He with the psalmist says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So this man takes the rod and the staff of the Scripture in his hand and is comforted thereby and supported thereby, and he goes toward the lonely pass as one who walks through the darkness into the light of the glorious beauty of Christ. You know, the psalmist declared in Psalms 46:1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Now, our nation is more aware, of course, of the need for God now than it has been in the last few years. In this present distress, we've been brought to our knees, haven't we? And in the times of peace, we sometimes get fat, and we get lazy, and we refuse to study the Word of God, and we don't feel a need for God as we should. People are more aware of the need of prayer now, it seems, than any other time in the late days, at any rate, when there was no threat to our security, was there? And it's good that our nation is concerned about our relationship with God. It is time for us to get back to our service unto Him and our dependence upon Him, acknowledging it in all of our ways. You know, the mainstream of America, though religious generally, it misses the basic source of the strength for which it prays. God communicates with man, of course, only through His Word, the Bible. He does not speak in small, still voices now. He does not speak in some direct way. But outside of the Bible, nothing about God can be known. It is His revelation to man. In John 16:13, Jesus said to His apostles, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever things He shall hear, these shall He speak, and He will show you things which are to come." Now, too often, men want God to be at their disposal, it seems, to act as they want Him to act, when they want Him to act. But you know, God does not deal with man on men's terms. He deals with men only on His own terms. We know of His great love, His great grace and mercy and strength, but it's only through the Bible. You know, the Bible is our only hope, since it is the source of the saving gospel of Christ. It is His power. It is not the product of man, but the Bible claims, and indeed is, the Word of God. If good men claim they wrote the Bible, then they lied, and they cannot be good men. And evil men, of course, would not have written the Bible, because it condemns their evil conduct. So since men did not write the Bible, it has come from God. And we know that this is true because Jesus said, "God's Word is truth." In John 17:17, He said, "Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy Word is truth." So it is an indispensable fact, my friends, that men are not self-sufficient. We know that now, don't we? After these attacks, we realize more our dependence upon God. Only the foolish deny the existence of God. In fact, Proverbs 14:1 and Proverbs 53:1 both say the same thing. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Now, since God is the author of the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says it's God-breathed. It is inspired, and that's what that means. It stands to reason that we must rely completely upon the Bible for our spiritual strength and for our hope, isn't it? "Thy word," the psalmist said, "indeed it is true. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway," Psalms 119, verse 105. You know, the Bible is our only authority if we're true Christians, because man can appeal to whatever God he may please for comfort and strength, whether it be in a spiritual context such as Allah or Buddha, or in the material context such as wealth, material power, or recreation. Many people depend on these things, and they make them their God. But some even appeal to Jehovah, but not with the proper attitude of submission to Him that He requires. So all is to no avail unless the God that we serve is the God of the Bible. You see, it is common for people to make the assertions that cannot be verified or confirmed, such as in the case of the Quran, the Bible of Islam, and all other so-called Bibles are new books, new revelations, which God has not given. Indeed, unless they can be proven to be true, they must be cast aside immediately with finality. In the latter part of the chapters of the Bible, He said, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man take away from the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life and out of the holy city which are written in this book." You know, the Bible can be proven to be true, both by external and internal evidence. Hundreds of volumes have been written to verify the validity and the integrity of the Bible, and indeed it has been proven over and over and over. God made all things, the Bible is His book, and His book is true. You know, when the Bible is brought low by ignorant or liberal brethren even, or by infidels who believe not the Bible to be the Word of Jehovah God, it does no harm to the Bible. It does harm to the people who do this. It is the unbeliever that will suffer in the judgment. Now remember, Jesus said, "Not everyone that just saith unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven." Where is the will of the Father to be found? Well, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, He said, "Now all Scripture, inspired of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Jesus also said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Now, man can ridicule, he can criticize, He can deny and ignore the Bible all he wants to do it. But it will not change the truth. The truth is still there. And those verses which men deny and refuse to listen to, 100 years from now, if the world continues, they'll still read just exactly the same. And it will not be the Bible that has gone down into darkness. It will be man who has gone to his eternal destination of hell. You know, Jesus said that he had all authority in heaven and upon earth, Matthew 28:20. And this, of course, after he arose from the dead. He said, you go teach them and baptize them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe what I've taught you. And lo, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Paul wrote that God had put all things under Jesus' feet and gave him to be a head over all things to the church, which is his body, Ephesians 1:22-23. Now, if you don't come into the church, my friends, you're not under the rule of Christ. You may say, oh, I want Christ, but not the church. But it doesn't work that way. You cannot say, oh, I have the Lord in my heart, and I know I am saved, although I have not obeyed what the Bible teaches. It won't work, will it, friend? You may say, Lord, Lord, but you won't enter the kingdom until you do the will of the Father who is in heaven and who will be our judge. Why, Jesus Christ himself, John 12:48 and Acts 17:31. Jesus prayed to God, sanctify them through thy truth, set them apart by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And many quake at the idea of God's word being called law, but it is the standard of law by which we live. God's law is the truth, and Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What is your standard, my friends, for living? We hope that it's the Bible, and if it's not, make it yours today.